somewhat reasonably warm and somewhat reasonably tolerable for that young lady while she gets baptized in Jesus' name. If you have your Bibles, we're going to John chapter number 8. A very familiar passage of Scripture. If you could stand for the reading of the Word of God. John chapter number 8. That's where we are going this morning or this afternoon, whatever you want to call it. Starting at verse number 29. Everybody there say amen. John 8:29 reads like this. Says, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in what? In my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the what? And the truth shall make you free. Skipping over to verse number 44 of the same chapter. Starting at verse 43. Says, why do you not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. Verse 45. And because I tell you the what? Ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Jesus said, if you live by my words, you can inherit eternal life. Death will no longer have a beholding upon you. You can look at the graveyard as you drive by and say, you know what? They may carry me out and put me under the dirt someday, but that is not my final destination. That is just where this hunk of clay may lay for a temporary period of time. But because of Jesus and because I know the truth, his truth has set me free. I want to preach just for a little while on this topic. Do you know the truth? Do you know the truth? Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Dear Lord, we thank you for everything you've done in our lives. We thank you for every word that you've put into our spirits. And the fact, God, that you came and you shed your blood on Calvary for every single one of us, for that we're eternally grateful. But God, I'm asking you today to open our minds and enlighten our understanding to the light of you. The fact that what truth really is, that it's more than just something that we go to church and do, but there, to know you is more powerful than we could ever imagine, to have you living and walking in a relationship with us. I ask you, God, to guide my words. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, Amen. You may be seated. Can't imagine what it must have been like for the children or the Jews during that time frame that Jesus had came on the scene. It's become a particular time. Jesus was born as a child, as a baby, came in a manger. And on down the line, it became a little more serious. Jesus knew from the time he was born what he had came to do. Jesus knew he had came for one reason, and that was to die for man's sin. Can you imagine being born only to know you came specifically for one reason? To die. Can't imagine what that must have been like. But it was bigger than that. Jesus knew his scope of job in the flesh. He knew exactly what he had to accomplish in the time frame he had to do it in. But the task was bigger than just coming and dying. But he also was no doubt burdened with the fact that he had to choose 12 individuals to establish this church once he was done and gone. Can't imagine the weight of knowing that everything that had been built up from the beginning of time, put into place and put into action, and now Jesus must take this entire plan from the beginning of the fall of man and put it in the hands of mortal men. You see, Jesus followed his own pattern in the fact that Jesus taught the people, but he never taught them where they could understand it. He taught in parables. He taught in sayings. He taught in things that baffled people. They couldn't grasp it. And even the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, what in the world are you talking about? How can we understand the sayings that you are saying? And Jesus said, it's for you to understand, but not for them. He said, it's not the time for them to realize and recognize who I am yet. He said, because they don't recognize me, they're still serving under the Pharisaical laws. They're still serving under what they deemed as a sufficient atonement for their sin, but it really is not sufficient at all. And that's what he began to reveal to those 12 men. Can't imagine what it was like the day he was walking down the road listening to his disciples grumble amongst themselves of who was going to be first. And I wonder if Jesus didn't question in his mind, what in the world have I got myself into? These 12 men, if they only could grasp the depth of what I'm trying to do with their lives, and they're fussing about who's going to be first. And Jesus turns around and says, hey, fellas, if you never figured it out, he that should go to be first is going to be last. Who's going to be last is going to be first. He said, because I don't operate in the way that flesh operates. I operate on a different plane. And if it makes sense in your eyes, don't make sense in my eyes. If it makes sense in my eyes, probably don't make sense in your eyes. Because everything that looks normal in the flesh don't look normal in the spiritual. And everything that looks normal in the spiritual, in the flesh, you say, why in the world, God, are you operating that way? For one simple reason. Because he is God. And he is not going to relegate his duties to mankind ever. Because he's God. And he's God all by himself. God is not going to share his glory with anybody. And if people think they have figured God out, I am convinced that God would change the entire system just to prove that they couldn't figure him out. Because God is not going to share his glory with anybody else. He said he's a jealous God. But I can't imagine what it was like taking all he had planned, all that was put into action, and put it in the hands of mortal men. men. Knowing the fact that these men had the opportunity to mess this thing up. You see, Jesus had put it in the hands of men before, and their track record wasn't very good. If you look at the Old Testament, wasn't a real pretty picture of promise when he looked back at the Old Testament. But how many's glad God still takes his chances with mortal men? I'm thankful that God still looks into broken lives and says, you know what? I see something that nobody else sees in that life. You know what? They may have messed it up before, but you know what? I'm going to give them another shot. I'm going to give them another try. I'm going to pick them up, put their feet on a sure foundation, and just let them try one more time. Whether you realize it or not, we serve a God that's merciful, that's a grace-giving God, that's a God that's willing to give mortal individuals mulligans, if you will, redos, a second chance. But I can't imagine what it must have been like knowing that just before the final happenings, Peter at one point seems to get it, and then the next moment Peter doesn't get it. At one minute they understand it, and then the next minute it's almost like they're clueless. Jesus is trying to tell the disciples, look, they're going to kill me. If you don't understand it, I'm going to die. And it has to happen that way. And Peter stands up and says, oh no, they won't kill you. I'll stand by you. And I'll use my sword. I'll do whatever it takes. And Jesus has to literally rebuke Peter and say, Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're thinking through the flesh. That's not how I'm thinking. He said, I have to go through with this. And what he was trying to get through to Peter's head is, if I don't go through with this, Peter, you don't have a hope of salvation, period. You don't have a chance in life, period, nor the next life. And Jesus had an uncanny way of talking to his disciples that he couldn't talk to other people. Jesus at times had to get very plain with the disciples. There was times Jesus actually rebuked those disciples. There was times that Jesus is walking and he's trying to expound to them of who he really is. And he looks at Philip and he said, Philip, have I been so long with you and you still don't know me? He said, when you look at me, Peter, or Philip, you've seen the Father. He said, but it suffices us, Father, if you just show us the Father, we would know him. Then he starts getting really pointed with Philip and he says, look, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you're waiting to see someone else, you aren't going to see anybody else. This is the closest fleshly thing you're ever going to see of God, because it's never going to be any closer to what he is. I am God manifest in the flesh. How much more plain can I tell you this? John chapter number 14. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know the way. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Lovely doubting Thomas has a way of just kind of opening his mouth at the wrong time every time. I don't know about you, but that gives me hope when someone is in the group of the disciples like that. That his humanity sticks out a lot. That God can use anybody. It doesn't matter what temperament you are. It doesn't matter what attitude you have. It doesn't matter of your physical makeup. It doesn't make your a matter of your mental makeup. God can use anyone. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. The what? And the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I get a little leery. I don't know if you have any of you listen to WFRN, but they're having a big, massive Michiana revival crusade thing going over in Goshen area. And they've been having 3,000 and 4,000 people show up, and it's Revive Indiana that they're promulgating. And I was listening to it the other night because I was just curious of what was going on. And he said, we're going to have a baptism, and so they take him over there and they baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I was standing at the kitchen counter and I said, oh, that makes my blood curl. My wife said, what are you talking about? I said, did you not hear them? I said, how can they go baptize somebody completely opposite of what the Bible teaches? How can you take something and twist it so far-fetched from what the Word of God says and then call it of God? And this is exactly where the disciples were at. The disciples were not grasping who Jesus was. They wanted to see the Father. They were honestly asking, we want to see the Father. And Jesus says, I am the way. The truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you want to get to the Father, you can't get to him unless you come through me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have what? He says, not only have you known him, but when you look at me, you've also seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. So now Philip opens his mouth and says, but could you just show us the Father? And Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Now he calls him by name. Jesus is getting a little irritated, I think, at this point. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Verse 10, believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Now, I want you to pay close attention to something right here. Jesus always in the scripture diverts all attention away from him in the flesh. You never find where Jesus says, look on what I'm doing. Jesus always says, these things that I do, I don't do because I am strong in this flesh. The only way I am able to do what I'm doing is not because of this flesh, but because of the one that's dwelling inside of me. I'm going to get a bit theological here for our senior saints here. We as Pentecostals make a big mistake sometimes because we have a tendency of putting the deity on the flesh. We want to picture God as that flesh that's walking on the earth. Jesus said the flesh is just flesh. It is only here so a mortal man can see the sacrifice. What really matters is the one that's living inside of me. When you're calling on his name, it's not my name. It's the name of the one that's dwelling inside of me. When you call on Jesus, you're not calling on this flesh. You're calling on the eternal Spirit of God from the beginning. And that is his name. When you call on the name of Jesus, you're evoking something bigger than a fleshly figure that's just walking on the earth. The Bible says God is a what? A spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But we have a society today that walks around and says, I love God. And I know God. And I know the truth. Jesus said you can't know the truth unless you performed the very things that are in his word. He said, because in order to know me, you must keep my commandments. And you say, well, how can we know the commandments of Jesus Christ? It is very simple. You must look and find out what he instructed, what he put in to those 12 men before he sent them out to establish his church. We must remember, God has always used a mouthpiece to promulgate his gospel. In the Old Testament, he used a prophet, did he not? God did not come down from the mountain and deliver the tables of the Old Testament law directly to the people and speak to the people directly, did he? No, he did not. He said, Moses, get everybody away from the mountain, sanctify them, and if anybody touches the mountain, they will die. Now I want you to go into the mountain after you have sanctified yourself, and I'm going to deliver something to you. When the children of Israel got the law, it was designed very specifically that a high priest would go into the holiest of holies for the sins of the rest of the people. God has never made a pattern of circumventing the mouthpiece of himself and going directly to the people. He always has used a man. And it's biblically, scripturally, factly proven that in the New Testament, he did not circumvent that law that he'd always used. Because in the New Testament, he didn't go directly to the people. He confused the people on purpose, literally, by speaking in parables. And then he took the disciples and said, don't tell anybody what I'm telling you. Tell no man that I am the Christ. Don't let this out. I need to instruct you. I need to train you. I need to show you who I am. But I mustn't let them know who I am. Because if they know who I am, they won't crucify me. At the beginning of the book of Acts, the Bible said he took the 12 apostles, took them into the Mount of Olives after he had been resurrected, took them into the Mount of Olives and spoke to them things pertaining to the kingdom of God for 40 days. But it doesn't say what he told them. Why? Because he was using his own policy that he had used from the beginning to let the wisdom and the instruction come through a mortal man. You see, if direction comes directly from God, I bet if God came down and told Sister Kirk to put on her shoes and walk to Indianapolis, she'd put on her shoes pretty quick. She probably would never question it. But if I went and told Brother Rodney, you need to run to Rochester and don't drive your truck, he'd look at me like, Is this God? Is this Pastor Smith? Now there's an element of faith involved. And the Bible says you can't be saved without faith. There's an element of faith that's involved when you're looking into something that doesn't make sense in your eyes. And you have to put an element of faith in it that says, you know what? Is this of God or is it not? Because it takes a lot more faith for Brother Rodney to listen to Pastor than it would be for Sister Kirk to listen to God. How do you mess it up, a commandment from God? Pretty hard to do. But it's pretty easy to mess up a commandment that flows through a man to an individual. Because now you've got to mix faith with it. And sometimes that's not so easy to do. Because we as individuals have a tendency to weigh it out in our own minds. And that is what has happened with society today when it comes to church. They have weighed out in their own minds what they think it takes to get to heaven. They have weighed out in their own minds what they think it takes to know God. They have weighed out in their own minds what they think matters and what doesn't when it comes to God. But the fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what you think. The only thing that matters is the Word of God. And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. It's more than just saying, I know God. Everybody says they know God. It's hard in today's society to find anybody that would look at you and say, oh, I don't know God. Nowadays, everybody is a Christian, if you ask them. Because it's popular today to be a Christian. And they look at you and say, oh, yes, me and God got our own thing going. We're okay. We've got this thing figured out. It's one thing to say, me and God got this thing figured out. And it's another thing to know God. Because Jesus said, if you're my disciple, number one, you're going to know the Word of God. Because in order to follow the Word, you better know the Word. And it behooves us as individuals, if we claim to know the truth, then it better be more than something we do on Sunday. If we claim to know Jesus, it better be more than something that we show up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we clap our hands, we sing our three songs, we listen to the pastor get up there on a struggling sermon, and then we go out and say, we went to church. It better be Monday. We get up in the morning. And if you know Him, you get up in the morning and you say, good morning, God. It's Monday. And you know what Tuesday holds? Good morning, God. It's Tuesday. And when it comes to Wednesday and everybody else in the church has forgotten about Him, the ones that really know Him gets up on Wednesday and says, good morning, God. I didn't forget, because I know the truth. Because it's more than just a mental thing saying, I know what it means and I go to church. But to know the truth means the truth lives inside of me. It's bigger than just knowing something in your own mortal mind. But knowing the truth, the Bible says, will give you life, and death will no longer have a hold on you. You say, what do you mean, preacher? The devil can't dangle death over your head no more. You say, why? Very simple. Paul said, if I die, it's gain. Death doesn't scare me. Why? How can you say that? Will you say that to people today? They think you're crazy. You mean you're not scared to die? How can you say that you're not scared to die? It's very simple. I'm no longer bound by the flesh. I now have the way, the truth. And when I have the way and I have the truth, He gives me life. And life is beyond this life. To have hope in this world alone, we would be of all men most what? Miserable. But when you know the truth, the Bible says the truth will set you free. As Jesus began to go on with his disciples, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, he said, "Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, and because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." Verse 21. "And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world?" He says, how are we going to see you, but the world is not going to see you? Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. He will come unto me and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the what? The Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in what? In my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, when you keep my commandments, you're not loved by this flesh. You're loved by the God of all eternity. It's bigger than just me. I am just a walking sacrifice bound by the flesh while I'm still on this earth. But when everything is all done, the Holy Ghost is what's going to bring to your remembrance all these things that I put inside of you. He said, and that's when you will know you really know the truth. Because the Bible says that same Spirit that quickened Jesus from the dead is going to quicken our mortal bodies to be changed to be like Him. And when he said, if you know the truth will set you free, and you want to know how you can drive by a graveyard and no longer fret? It's when you have that Spirit living inside of you and a hope that says, you know what? That Spirit's going to quicken this mortal body. And I don't care if I'm in a grave, I'm in a car, I don't care if I'm at work, I don't care if I'm at the press, I don't care where I'm at that very moment, but I am going to be changed to be like Jesus. My hope is not in this world anymore, but I have something living inside of me that can transform me from what a mortal will take on immortality. This flesh will no longer be bound by this flesh, but something is going to be changed, and I will be changed forever to be like Him. But that cannot happen unless you know the truth. As we all stand. If we need to get another refill in that thing, Brother Ted, let's get it flowing. So you say, Pastor, what are you trying to get across to us today? One simple thing. Just saying I go to New Beginnings Family Fellowship is not enough. Just saying I went to church last Sunday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and boy, does it feel good. My question is, do you really know the truth?